Wake up. Wake up. Let's go. Good morning, everybody. Larry Krueger, Damon Bruce. We're wake up on a Friday. It is week one in the NFL. It began last night. The Niners go Sunday. We got a lot to get to. Let's go.
Oh, wake up indeed. It's so good to see you, everyone. Here we are. We have made it. I mean, look, I love talking about sports. Larry, you do too. We made careers talking about sports, but sometimes the talk needs to come to an end and we need action. And we're about to get that action that we need, we crave. Here it is. Week one is around the corner. We got 49ers opening with division rival Seattle. Up in Seattle, a 49er takeover is being planned up in Seattle. Will it be that dramatic inside the stadium? Oh my goodness. The drama will be all over the field. Here we go, Larry. And you know, it's about to be football season when there is a Christian McCaffrey mysterious calf injury circling around the San Francisco 49ers. And we certainly have that. Hopefully there will be no direct flights from Seattle to Germany for Christian McCaffrey here. That was last year. Hopefully it's not this year. We got Levi's Larry. Look at you, Larry Krueger. Levi's Larry. Oh my goodness. How are you, pal? Good to see you, man. Here we go.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Damon. And of course, we're brought to you by Pig It Up Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're going to have a third location opening here soon. We'll tell you more about that when it becomes official. But check out Pig in a Pickle. Awesome, awesome barbecue. I think the best barbecue. I was just there last weekend. You know, these guys have been with me since the very start. And, you know, just I just feel like they're going to be with me to the bitter end. And, you know, I thank you to Pig in a Pickle. Thank you to Damon and Mary. And if you haven't checked it out, check it out. They got a great spot in Corte Madera Mall. They got a phenomenal spot in the marketplace there in Emeryville. Great barbecue. You're going to love it. And get the brisket. Get the brisket chili. I had both last weekend. It was amazing. So check them out. Thanks for them. Thanks to them for sponsoring the Krug Show.
Well, and Larry, I know that, you know, loyalty means an awful lot to you. Same thing over here. And my man Ike has been standing on YouTube with me since the minute I got here. And I thank him very, very much for that. Go get yourself an Ike sandwich. If you're thinking about picking up a sandwich this weekend, making an Ike's. And boy, I hope you live around one or you're in delivery range of an Ike's. And if you aren't, hopefully you will be soon. And our good friends at the Dubliner West Portal, Larry, I want to invite everybody watching us right now who can make it to the Dubliner West Portal in San Francisco on October 4th, starting at 4:20. Very easy start time that everyone should be able to remember. October 4th, it's the Saturday after the 49ers and Rams game Thursday nighter. So that's when we're going to be doing our next Plus Mania, and all are welcome. We hope you plan on coming out. We hope to see you and Kevin. We've extended invitations to John Lund and Guy Haberman and our friends around San Francisco and Paulie Mack, who's already told me he's got some gig at Sweetwater. Of course, he's got some gig he's playing. He can't make it, but he wishes as well. But here we go, man. It's time to get together with friends and watch some football, being in college football, NFL, and we saw a little NFL last night. Looked good. No spitting, everyone. Let's remember that as we enter a new season, right? Keep your saliva to yourself. It's only good advice from Uncle Damon. You should take it. You might be able to play a football game if you do. Isn't that nuts, Larry?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was doing this KMBR event in a bar, so I didn't see it live. I had to see it later. And, you know, I kind of feel like Prescott kind of baited him. I mean, Prescott spit it. I mean, everybody's losing their mind about Jalen Carter because what, his spit landed? Prescott spit at him too. I mean, I in some ways, it's like, hey, spitting at anybody is vile. Now, if I sit here, Damon, believe me, you wouldn't think any different. If you were standing right 3 feet away from me and I spit and it goes right past your head and past you, did I spit on you? Yes, I did. just because it didn't land doesn't mean I didn't spit on you. I spit on you and it missed. So I thought I thought the Eagles got screwed. I thought the Cowboys got bailed out. Dak Prescott spit at Jalen Carter and it didn't go very far. It landed, you know, a little bit in front of him and Carter spit back at him. And for them to only penalize Carter, I thought was wrong. It's like, dude, you spit at him. He spit at you. You know, let's not pretend you didn't spit at him.
Just say this. I see it a little bit differently than you. The only thing about spit I care about is where it lands. Intention means nothing. Landing is the everything in the spitting conversation. Where that spit lands, that's all I care about. And if it lands on the ground in front of me, I don't care. If you spit directly on me, I mean, well, here's the thing. These are without a doubt opening salvos of a little one-on-one battle that we're having here, but there's a big difference between spitting around me, spitting on the ground in front of me, and spitting on me.
I hear you, but Damon, if somebody spits at you and they miss, it's still time to go. I mean, I don't care. I don't care. If you spit at me and I miss it, I'm still bringing these hands.
Okay? Here's the thing. That's the thing. That's what I'm bringing. If you spit at me and I think you just spit at me, I don't think my retaliation is me spitting back at you. It's go time.
I agree. Spitting does not beget spitting. Seriously. If somebody spits at you, you do not have the right to spit back at them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you spit in anger at somebody, whether it lands on their arm, on their toe, on their jersey, on their helmet, or misses, if you spit at somebody, I think it's time to fight.
Back into the left. It was a phantom spitter, a second spitter, a spitter on the hill, a spitter on the grassy knoll. Oh, my goodness. We had a spitting ejection before a guy played a snap of football. We had a lightning delay. We got major drops by CeeDee Lamb, which decided probably the game more than anything else. We watched a whole bunch of TV talking heads have to pretend to be broadcasters through a rain delay, and that was a freaking disaster.
I love that, Damon. Damon, I know you and I did this for a living and have done this for a living and do this for a living, so we talk, but there's nothing like the non-talented TV people who can't say shit, who can't ad-lib, who can't do anything, and are always propped up by a teleprompter and a producer and a game plan and money. And now in this scenario, it's like, hey, you four idiots, go stand over there in the tunnel. Don't get hit by lightning. And you just fill for 12 minutes. And it's amazing how crappy the conversation becomes.
What's worse?
Immediately.
Honestly, what is worse? Truly, what's worse? Chris Collinsworth's kid or Chris Sims's haircut? What is going on with either of them being on my television in major roles?
Well, the Sims haircut, by the way, I also got a nice haircut today. I don't know if you can tell.
You look edged up. Nice job.
White walls.
I didn't even bother shaving this morning. So you're welcome, everybody.
You know, it's funny too. I shave. I usually go bottom chin fuzz but now I like to keep it cropped. But I lost my razor died on me, my electric. So now I've got I'm a little longer down here than I, because I don't have any way to shave that. How exactly do you trim your beard? Do you do it with scissors?
So I've got like a buzzer, like a zzz,
like a screen with like something that keeps it long so you don't get.
It's got several guards that you can put on it. I mean, you could cut your hair with this thing if you had to. I would never cut my own hair, but I use it to trim the beard and line things up.
By the way, the I mean, I'm gray, as you can see, but I mean, really gray here. And, you know, you are brown up top, but kind of very gray here.
Very nice of you to say that.
Well, I can see brown. I mean, look at your chin color
Seriously, I'm from the top from here. I'm a 50-year-old man up. From here down, I'm 78 years old. I'm gray real fast around the chin. I don't know why. Either way, no matter how you're shaving, no matter how you're spitting, thank you for being here with us. Wake Up is going to come to you Monday and Friday with some Wednesdays sprinkled in when the world of football calls for it. But we will be with you the Friday before the game and the Monday after the game, and we'll be with you every day after the game, no matter when that day is. So hit like, hit subscribe, do it to both channels if you would, please. Larry is absolutely crushing it from a sub standpoint. I want to get to 50,000 by the bye week. I need some of you Kruger fans to come on over and give me a like, give me a sub, so we can all move this football down the field and score big touchdowns together in this season of content creation that'll be better than any other that we have ever had. Larry, here we go. Here we go. Sam Darnold's first test as a Seahawk comes against Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. And that's where I kind of want to start today, with a simple question, because I really think it might be the biggest question hanging over the entire 49ers season. It's simply this, because I think that this offense will come out and provide a requisite level of 49ers offense, whatever that means, no matter who's out there, who the wide receivers are, who the running backs are, as long as it's Purdy and Shanahan, I think you're going to get like 24 points a game. I think that's going to happen, no matter who's out there, no matter whose calf is aching them this morning. That's what I'm hoping anyways.
I don't know about that, actually. I think it might be a low-scoring game, but go ahead.
It might be, but I think maybe this game is a low-scoring game. It's right. The first month of football is the new preseason football, so it could be a little off its game. To me, the biggest question hanging over this entire season for the 49ers is simply this. Can Robert Saleh's defensive experience bridge the gap of the players' inexperience that we're going to be seeing defensively? You know, there's a lot of new names, a lot of young guys out there who will be put in situations that they've never been put in before. Can Robert Saleh's experience bridge the gap of them figuring it out, and how quickly can that gap be bridged by guys who are learning on the job in real time? It's a tough week one matchup for this young defense.
Well, you know, the one thing, yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, you know, and I mentioned this yesterday to Murph, and he's like, man, that you kind of painted a vivid picture. He's like, I'm kind of scared. But I mean, let's be honest about this. Seattle last year was 28th in the NFL rush yards per game, right? They didn't run it. They ran it less frequently than almost every team and less effectively than almost every team. They added Clint Kubiak, changed their run game, added Gray Zabel at guard in the first round of the draft. And they are intent. This whole summer was all about run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And they've came out in all three games and averaged over 5.5 yards a carry on average in the preseason. And I think they went from a 6 in a couple of those games. So they're running it really, really well. They're looking at the Niners going, rookie defensive tackles, new defensive coordinator, even though he's their former defensive coordinator, he's still a new defensive coordinator. Lots of youth on the defense, all kinds of new faces. We're going to run it down their goddamn throats in the first week of the season. And I expect this to be a run some more. I like the under because I think the Niners are also going to try to protect their young defense by trying to, you know, have their offense, you know, take up some time of possession on that side of the ball and keep their defense on the sidelines. So,
well, I don't know how much quick lightning strike ability the 49ers offense currently has as they are currently constructed. So, time of possession game is part of it, I think.
But I think this is going to be like a 7 or 8 offensive possession game. I don't think this is going to be a 12 or 13 and one of those longer, you know, one of those games where you get lots of chances. So I'm looking at a low scoring game, but the Niners have practiced a 5-man front. Seattle is absolutely going to come out and try to gut them in the run game. And it's going to go from, hey, look, you know, preseason, everything, you know, hunky dory in August football, to shit got fucking real in a heartbeat, because the Seahawks are going to try to send the Niners back on that bird to San Francisco, just beaten and bewildered. And it's up to the 49ers to make sure that doesn't happen. The Niners have won 3 in a row, Brock, in Seattle. Damon. Brock Purdy's never lost to the Seahawks in Seattle, but this thing's going to be a knockdown, drag-out battle.
Well, and will Christian McCaffrey be in the middle of a running game that the 49ers got to get going? They didn't have much running game success in the preseason. Now, a big part of that is there was no Christian McCaffrey at all in the preseason, and we didn't see this offensive line the way it's going to be rolled out up in Seattle. So those two things alone got to be a big change. We will see the offensive line. The question is, will we see Christian McCaffrey? Again, there could be no greater harbinger of a 49er season about to start than a mysterious, unseen, unreported Christian McCaffrey. Great, perfect, healthy offseason right until 15 minutes before the damn season kicks off. He appears on the injury report. Now, I'll say this. If there's a single guy on the 49ers that you're going to be, you know, exercising an abundance of caution about, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey whenever he pulls up limp, lame, grabbing anything. But man, you know, Tom Pelissero already on NFL Network said this isn't a DEFCON 1. This isn't a bench Christian McCaffrey if you drafted him in your fantasy league moment yet for the 49ers. I certainly hope it doesn't become that between now and kickoff on Sunday, Larry. And if it does, the 49ers have absolutely no credibility left when it comes to reporting injuries or availability or giving any inclination of who is even going to participate in the upcoming season if there's a problem with Christian McCaffrey here.
Seriously. I mean, next time Shanahan reads us the list of injuries, we should all just collectively laugh and be like, yeah, all right, sure. Whatever you got, whatever you.
Anyone else?
Yeah, you know, are you done? Are you through? Are you finished? Is that all you got? I mean, we've had pressers where it's like the last question, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, by the way, that guy's out. Whoa, 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 whoa. What?
George Kittle broke his femur getting out of his car the other day, so he's unavailable for 3 to 4 weeks. What?
Yeah, stuff that should have led the compressor, you know, sometimes just gets thrown in there at the end. The games that the people play, as they say. Tom Pelissero has the latest on CMC. He said, I do not get the sense, based on the conversations I've had so far, that there's an alarm bells going off about Christian McCaffrey at this point. And all I would say is that means jack shit.
There better not be. Any alarm bells. He hasn't been tackled yet.
Yeah, but I mean, who's... So Tom Pelissero is not reporting anything. He's not boots on the ground. He's not investigating anything.
Right.
He's calling some PR lackey who's telling him this is the story, and he's going on the NFL Network and he's repeating it. He's not here. He doesn't have any source. He just has PR people spin. So ultimately what this really is we don't know. But the biggest garbage story was when the 49ers' best player, Christian McCaffrey, had double Achilles tendonitis, didn't have surgery, was traveling to the globe looking for solutions. There was no surgery, no anything. And then we were all just told, oh, yeah, that's all gone. That's all gone. Yeah, it's gone because he's walking around the mall picking out outfits for babies with his wife. I mean, it's not going to be gone when he's dodging Ram defenders. It's not going to be gone when he's dodging Brown defensive linemen. It's not going to go away when the Steelers come to town. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. It's not really gone away. He's just not playing football.
Right. So, they were fine in Cancun. They were perfect. You should see these double bilateral Achilles tendonitis order cocktails. Everything's fine.
Yeah, it's fine when you're in Cabo, but guess what? It's not fine when you're playing football. And so this whole, I'll say this. I mean, I added Brian Robinson in the fantasy league, and people were laughing at me. Oh, Brian Robinson, he's never going to play. Really? It looks like he's going to play a lot. Now, I think the Niners probably knew. I think the Niners probably knew that this was going on. That's probably one of the reasons they traded for Brian Robinson. I would love to think that they said, hey, you know what? We want depth, but they don't think that way. They think only about survival, and this was the move they had to make to survive. I think they ought to. The Seahawks have a really good young running back named Damian Martinez, who for whatever reason got put on their practice squad. They cut him 2 days ago. They put him back on their practice squad today or yesterday. He's a good running back, and he's a tough running back. Screw your 10 offensive linemen, go with 9, cut your weakest offensive lineman, and go sign another running back that you can use. I mean, Jordan James, what's he going to give you? I don't know. I don't know what he's going to give you. All I know is he's missed multiple weeks of practice as a running back with broken fingers. So, I mean, whatever. I've never heard of that before either. So obviously you don't have enough running backs. Obviously you need more running backs.
Like when you say broken, I think of Chubbs from the first Happy Gilmore, where he's got the wooden hand with the broken fingers on it.
I've never heard of a running back that missed time because of broken fingers until Jordan James. So, you know, whatever. We'll see, but I just don't think he's going to be the guy. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong, but he just looks pretty freaking ordinary. So, well, I mean, they need another back, and they have Brian Robinson, but guess what? I mean, you're a Brian Robinson injury away from nothing, from having absolutely nothing. So I would go sign Damian Martinez, make room for him, put him on your roster and give yourself some depth.
Well, and if this is the airing of grievances portion of the show, can we talk about Juwan Jennings and just the whatever the first day was, we were talking about what needs to be done with Juwan Jennings. So, like, we're going back 4 months of shows here, Larry. I remember the very, very first thing I said was, well, you just renegotiated with the guy, so you're not about to bake him a whole brand new cake. You just gave him a new cake. But you can put extra sprinkles on this. That's all it takes. A little extra frosting, a little extra sprinkles. And I remember us saying, well, you know, McKivitz, he's in a situation where he might be upset that he didn't get the extra sprinkles. And it might rub people in the locker room the wrong way if you give him the extra sprinkles. 4 months of anxiety, acrimony, and contentious negotiation and ridiculous roster manipulation because of availability, unavailability, getting this guy in, camp bodies, camp arms, camp everything. What do you know? My day one, hour one solution for Juwan Jennings turned out to be what got it done. Just put some sprinkles on that bad boy for him to go out and play hard for. And that's the solution. Now, I know it takes two to tango, and Juwan probably had to be backed into a corner to agree to this. But my day one, hour one solution turns out to be the X that marks the spot 3.5 months later after missing training camp and preseason and pretend calf injuries. Like, good God, man. Why? Why did it take this long to reach a conclusion this obvious and this simple on a player that they really need?
You know what, Damon? I'm glad you brought this up. It's a great question, and it really leads into my conspiracy theory of the morning, which is not even really a conspiracy theory if you think about it. It's very, very possible that Juwan Jennings didn't want to participate in training camp, and wait for it, the 49ers didn't want him to participate in training camp. You know, that's possible. He's your big money player. You've had a ton of injuries. You had young receivers that were in camp that you wanted to take a look at. He's the ultimate big money guy. It's like, you know, JJ is going to show up and play big in big moments. So do you need, I don't want a Juwan Jennings ever playing in preseason if I can avoid it. So I just think, I don't think it was the Niners' idea, Damon.
They wouldn't have had to put on the ruse.
Oh, I know. I mean,
had to do that.
I mean, the Niners have played all kinds of financial games through the years to save a buck here, save a buck there. But you know, If the Kawakami reporting was accurate, which was that he Rosenhaus was asking for north of $20 million, maybe Rosenhaus and Juwan, or maybe Juwan on his own, said, you know what? I got some leverage. I'm going to take it for a test spin. Let's see what my leverage gets me. And then all of a sudden, slapped down by the rude awakening of, you ain't that good. You ain't going that good. And you don't have that kind of leverage. And so he's not going to get that deal, didn't get that deal. But at the end of the day, the Niners love JJ and he loves them. And he loves to play. So he showed up. But yeah, I mean, it's easy to look at that situation and go, wait a second. If it was just about giving him $3 million more of makeable incentives, then why the fuck did you jerk yourselves off all summer with this? Why did you even go through this tap dance? Why didn't you just do it? You know, do it up front. If you were, if you had this in your power to do, why didn't you do it up front? And the only answer has to be, because you're right, why didn't they do it up front? And it's like, what, they didn't think about it? No, that's not plausible. They didn't want Juwan Jennings on the practice field in the summer. I think that might be it. They may have wanted to preserve him.
It's so easy at that point to just bring him into Jed's office and be like, look, we're going to play a little game here. And the game at the end of the game is, you're a Niner. We love you. We're paying you. No acrimony here while we're dancing, while the game is underway. It's not even, first of all, it's Juwan Jennings. It's not like we need to hide weapon X. I mean, like, it's just, the whole thing was ridiculous. The whole thing got ridiculous. Everybody thought way too much of their own selves, their own positions. It's just, again, a day one solution was reached on day 200. Congratulations, everybody. Geniuses all around.
Somebody said, Larry, this guy says, I'm sorry, Larry, but I do believe the 49ers were thinking that far ahead. Ultimately, they got the guy that they wanted signed. They got him signed to the amount they want him signed to. And now they say they're going to keep negotiating for an extension. But I don't think those negotiations are going anywhere, because JJ wants the big payday, and it's coming in March, and it's probably not coming from the Niners.
Here's the thing. Let's say JJ opens up with the first 5 weeks of a football season that has everybody in the world talking about him. Guess what you can do? You can sit down and renegotiate right there and then, right? If he's playing, if he's giving you straight up Pro Bowl level, it's hard to tell the difference between me and Justin Jefferson type of performance, then you fly Drew Rosenhaus in on a private jet and you say, let's go get a lobster and figure this out. I mean, it's so for teams that always insist they're trying to eliminate distractions, they're trying to eliminate busy work, they don't want anything that isn't the main thing to be the thing. The 49ers are actively courting their own distractions as much as any team in football. I mean, it's amazing. It really is. Having said all of that, I think they're about to have a very good football season, Larry. I really do. I think they, with all of our worries about everything, all the rookies, all of the offensive line that they didn't address, all of the wide receiver that we feel is sort of an incomplete, all of the Christian McCaffrey anxiety that just happens at all times, I guess. I still think they're about to have a very good football season. I really, really do. As of this hour, odds, the 49ers odds to win the Super Bowl are 18-1. To win the NFC, it's 9-1. Their over under win total is 10.5. They begin the season with a 67.2% chance to make the playoffs. MVP consideration going off for Brock Purdy at 25-1, CMC 150-1. You'd be throwing away your money, but Kittle's going off at 500-1. A tight end will never be named MVP. I don't care what he does. A tight end could score 50 touchdowns. He's not going to be named MVP. Bosa, defensive player of the year, going off at 10-1. And let me just say this, man, because money does matter to some guys, right? You know, I don't think Bosa is playing for a paycheck kind of guy. Like, he is too dedicated. He is too rocked up at all times. He's a special player. When Nick Bosa came into this league, guys at his position were making, at best, like $20, $25 million. If you are a great defensive end in the NFL right now, you are a candidate to be making $40 million. Nick Bosa, go get that quarterback. Go stack money in a bank account. I mean, this should be a lot of incentive for Nick Bosa to have a huge year with some of the salaries that these guys are making at the same position. He is 10-1 to win defensive player of the year. Fred Warner, 75-1 defensive player of the year. I'm going to tell you, if the 49ers are in this, it's going to be because Fred Warner is flying around and leading the NFL in tackles, basically. So I think that's actually good value at 75-1 for Warner defensive player of the year. What are some of the numbers you see attached to this team that you like, Larry?
What do you mean?
From, like, you know, just an odd standpoint, an over-under standpoint, a gots-to-have-it win total standpoint. When you look at the Niners, you got them at what, 12 wins?
No, I mean, no, I don't have them at 12 wins. I have them probably. I mean, the 49ers have won six games.
You got them at 11. 12's not far away.
Well, I don't have them at 11. The 49ers have, you know, I mean, it's going to be, they've been injured a lot this summer. They're not very deep. They had the worst special teams unit in football last year. Their offensive line is not that good. Their defensive line is not that good. I would say the 49ers, because of their shit schedule, will probably win 10 games. But if they won 9, I wouldn't be surprised. I do think that, you know, there's a potential for this thing to go south, even with the easy schedule, just because, you know, it's like we've seen the 49ers in recent years. They've struggled at times. They've had injuries, that if they just have a regular amount of injuries this year, they're going to be sunk. I mean, they can't afford injuries, and it's an injury sport. So what, you know, yeah, they look okay right now in week one, but what happens when they lose Demo? What happens when they lose Trent? What happens when they lose CMC? They can't afford to lose any of their core, and yet their core is old and at the end. So it's, you know, Trent's older and at the end. CMC is at clearly at the end. You know, Kittle, even though he looks good, he's still probably near the end, and Bosa's probably near the end. I mean, football goes fast. So, you know, what are the odds that the old Niner core and the old Niner O-line, you know, are going to stay totally intact? Probably not very good. And then it's a matter of the depth.
I mean, I don't think the odds are good for any team in football to stay totally intact.
But the 49ers are leaning on 7 or 8 really big name guys that are being paid a ton of cash to produce like big name, big time guys. And, you know, we've said it many times. It's like football is a cruel sport. One day you're a big name, the next day you're just a bloated name on the cap. You know, one day you're cruising, the next day you suck. And it goes by really, really fast. So the 49ers are trying to do a tap dance here. They're trying to coach up their young players, hope they have enough good ones to get through the year. And then they're also trying to keep their veteran, you know, borderline future Hall of Famers, you know, upright for one more bite at the apple. And I would say they got a real shot if they can keep everybody healthy. But as soon as they lose 2 or 3 key guys, they should sink pretty good.
It could happen. I mean, there's no doubt. I think every team sort of lives in that universe. You could say, well, younger, better built, deeper teams maybe can navigate those choppy waters a little bit better than the Niners are set to navigate them. But I do know this: when healthy, the Niners are usually in the NFC championship game. When unhealthy, you know, they're a whole different situation. It's a whole different situation. So I think at this point in the year, I'm not going to be worried about things that could happen until they do happen. I'm looking at the Niners as who they are today, walking into Seattle against this schedule, and I like their playoff chances an awful lot. I really do. I think that this is a well-coached, if not well-built, not as bad as people insist on a team. I think their offensive line is completely league average and fine. I think their wide receivers, although unimpressive and unsexy, I think they'll probably produce sort of league average and be fine. I think that their running game will hopefully be better than league average. It's kind of what Shanahan usually gets out of his running game. Hopefully he will this year. And I think with improved special teams and Robert Saleh calling defense again, that all gets better. I hope I'm right. And if you're a 49er fan, I'm guessing you're hoping I'm right too. Yeah, there's plenty of reasons why it could go wrong. But the older guys, if they stay healthy, they're all still some ass kickers. I hope they really are. And I think that they are. By the way, a big year for George Kittle in terms of, you know, what are you doing out here, George? George is basically putting the final few pen strokes on the only difference is, I mean, there's only one question about George Kittle's Hall of Fame candidacy: first ballot or not. He is going to the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that. Do you realize, though, he only needs 55 more catches, Larry, to move into second place on the 49ers receptions list? That's not for tight ends. That's the real list. That's the Jerry Rice list. You know, it's not just tight ends. Second, 55 catches away, second all time in teams in catches. He needs, and this would be a big season for him, he needs about 1,200 yards to pass T.O. for second all time in terms of receiving yards as a 49er. George Kittle is going, it's going to, the Niners' all time catches and yards list is going to read Jerry Rice, George Kittle. That's amazing.
He's had a great career, man. He's had a great career, and he's going to, you know, they haven't been able to throw him the ball as much because they've needed him to block. Now they have Farrell to block and no receivers. They're going to need him. They're going to need him.
Corporal Tez here, who's extra spicy and salty this morning, who says, who says Kittle's a Hall of Famer? Was it Kyle? Oh, no, I say. NFL history says he will be a Hall of Famer. I mean, you can bank on that. You can put your mortgage on that. George Kittle's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think he probably is as well. I mean, and I, you know, whatever. I mean, it's, you know, we'll see. We'll see. He definitely has had a good career up to this point. And if he can stay healthy for a few more years, maybe he'll make it. I would love to see him there. It'd be great to see.
I think it goes. Larry, we got some supers. You want to hit them?
Maybe we should talk about the Seattle game.
Well, I don't mean like, and then we'll be done with the show, but I said, you just want to go through them and then we'll get to Seattle. Some tickets.
JC Mania. LOL. Love what you've done with the place, Krug. I know it's the decorations on the wall are just tremendous.
Right. You guys are allowed to decorate these studios, right? They don't have to just be barren fricking soundproofing. Like you do know that like decorating a studio is an option. Does anyone know that at KNBR? I can help.
Yeah, seriously. We're at the studio in Santa Clara. Fuji Simeon on 10-11, Larry Damon, it's Reardon versus SI at Reardon.
Ooh.
Go Cats, get them Cats, go get them Cats. Good luck to my son today. He's playing JV ball at 4:30. I will be there. Go Northgate. They're playing Camp Olindo. Sweep the leg.
What position is he playing?
He plays receiver and corner. Probably nice. The lowest grade thing I think I've ever seen on a football field came courtesy of Camp Olindo High School. I need to share this one. It was a few years ago. They were playing a night game, a varsity night game. Camp Olindo was up 41-10. They had a really, really good team. They put in their backup quarterback with 40 seconds left. And he did a play action, went up top to make it 49 instead of 42-10 with like, and then, you know, ran off the field. I sat there. I was like, dude, what a garbage play call. What a ridiculous pouring it on. What a lousy thing of sportsmanship. Play action pass going up top, up 42-10 with like 9 seconds left on the clock. And I thought, man, that whoever runs Camp Olindo's program has absolutely no discipline at all. Fuji Simeon.
You know, here's the thing. If he's a backup who checked into that on the line of scrimmage himself, because I don't get to throw many passes this year. Good kid. If it came from your coach has got a problem. But if the kid did it, okay.
Well, you still got a problem. I mean, you're the coach, bro. You're run the game. You know what I mean? Don't let your kids pile on. I mean, it's so senseless and so bad. Such bad sportsmanship. He's lucky that I wasn't on the other end. I would not have appreciated that at the handshake at all. I think I definitely would have said something. Fuji Simeon.
What's your deal?
Yeah, what's your deal, high school Harry? Fuji Simeon, go teach English, high school Harry. Now it makes sense for the projected 53% 49er fans at Seattle. I forgot to take into account the fans who live in Seattle or Washington State, Idaho even. It's funny, Dave Softy Mahler, I talked to him. I said, Dave, 53% of the fans are supposed to be Niner fans. And he's like, yeah, man, the Hawks have been down and people are down on them. And it's like, there's a lot to, then he gave me there's a lot to do up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What, are you going to go to Pike's Place and get hit in the face with a salmon? Yeah, there's so much to do.
No, I mean, seriously, that's what I said. I said, you know, go get your raft and float across the Puget Sound, jerk off. You don't have that many things to do. You know, don't act like you're the busiest guy in the world.
Yeah, all these plays on Broadway opening up. We got Saturday Night Live being recorded the night before. It's a busy, busy. It's a busy I'm place like, here in Seattle. Like,
yeah, there ain't nothing to do here down here in the Bay. We're just a bunch of, you know, guys sitting around in a pickup going, when's the next Niner game? JC Mania, any X factors we should look at for this Sunday?
Brian Robinson Jr., man. How will he be used? Will he be used? I think this Christian McCaffrey thing just screams at Shanahan to use him more than he might even want to. So what that guy looks like in his Niners debut, I mean, we haven't even seen him tote the ball once in a preseason snap. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that guy. The guy I know nothing about easily fits my X factor definition.
I'm going to go. The Niners have been practicing a five-man defensive front. And I know Seattle is just going to come out and just try to gut them. And so we'll see. I mean, are we going to see that five-man front? If the Niners can't play run D in the wide nine, they're not going to sit there and wither. I mean, that's the one thing about having Robert Saleh. He's not just going to sit there and allow his team to just die a slow death. He may speed up that death by sending extra rushers and taking more chances. But I think the Niners will not sit in a shell. They will not sit there in their you know, their wide nine, four-man, get up the field front if they're getting gashed. And so I would say the wild card factor is, when do the 49ers bust out the five-man front, and what kind of impact does it have in this game? I think that's something I'll be looking for. LG Krug,
Are you going to a bottle of whiskey? I don't even know what you're going to do with that, but are you going to a bottle of whiskey, Larry? Are you going to drink it? You going to hide it?
I am going to a bottle of whiskey, and I'm going to a bottle of whiskeys, you know, and maybe even multiple bottles of whiskey. Fuji Simeon, low scoring game scares me as much as Moody can make or break the game. Hopefully it does not come down to that. It all depends on which Moody shows up. I mean, that's the only thing. The only guy who's, you know, enjoying the JJ holdout, hold in theatrics and the is he or is he not hurt Christian stories, Jake Moody, because without those two stories, we're talking about his unpredictable preseason and, you know, it's Moody watch without those two stories. Fuji, we will see Purdy use his legs for this game? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I, in fact, I put that. That's one of the wagers I'll go with this week. I like the, you know, we'll talk about it when I play the sleeper commercial later, but I like the Purdy rush yards prop. It's 12.5, and I think he could get 12.5 on any run. You know, one thing about Brock Purdy is he's very, very competitive. He will throw the ball into the turf and go to the next series once or twice. But if he looks around, surveys the field on that third possession, let's say, and he doesn't see anybody open and it's third and five, he's not going to throw that ball into the ground and punt. He's going to take off and run. So I would say in this game, expect Purdy to run for, I would say, 15 to 20 yards for sure. We'll see.
I mean, will he be wearing cowboy boots? That's the question. He's in a new cowboy boot commercial.
I saw that. Dale says, due to the NFL gambling marriage, injury reports should have become accurate, right? Right. Can teams get in trouble with picks or things for bad reports?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, the NFL cares intently about this. I mean, the NFL cares more about preserving their gambling information than they care about their players. I think, I mean, do they offer lifetime medical to their players? No. Do they fine people, you know, significantly if they don't comply with the NFL, you know, information release as it pertains to the gambling side of things, the questionable, probable, all that? Yeah, you have to abide by those rules or you're going to get major fines. They absolutely are serious about that. We got this one. We got that one. Oh, did we get that one? Yep, we got that one. Here we go. Ben_Diesel85. If CMC can't play 8 to 10 games this season, then they should consider moving on from him. Oh yeah, I mean, no doubt. He can't get healthy, and he's only getting older. Oh no, you're looking at the end. I mean, you know, running backs do not last. There's no such thing as the 40-year-old running back. these careers are short-lived. I mean, there's no question about it.
Look at it this way. The over-under on career games remaining for Christian McCaffrey is it's a number in the 30s, right? Probably got about 30 games left in this league.
Mike Baker, Larry, you, Jesse, and Chad, I don't know who Chad is, have me totally depressed about this season. At Letty, D. Bruce is being a bit positive.
Maybe at least. Well, here's the thing. Maybe Letty. Letty's a good guy. Good lad.
Yeah, at but, Letty. You
know, I look at it this way. There will be plenty of chances to be negative this season. They will be handed to us on a silver platter. I'm not going to simulate negativity until it really hits us in the face. Again, I'm not going to be complaining about any made Jake Moody field goals. I don't care if he is shaving the inside of the upright with every made field goal he makes this year. If he doinks in every field goal all year long, I'll be happy with every single doinked in field goal that he can make. I'm only going to worry about the shit he misses, not the things he almost misses.
I mean, Mike, I don't know what you're obviously not listening to me because I've picked the 49ers to win 10 games in my Super Bowl 60 prediction is Niners Chargers. So, I mean, I'm on the air a lot. We do lots of streams. There's lots of hours of content and I give you my honest opinion. I'm not a house organ. I don't sit there and watch Christian McCaffrey get hurt and go, you know what? Let me tell you, that's a positive.
It's good.
You know, so that's a positive. So just remember people who butter, you know, people that take shit off your back are not your friends. People that put shit on your back are not necessarily your enemies. People who say negative things about a team aren't necessarily, you know, the enemy. It's just they're being objective and they're being honest. I would imagine the reason that Damon and I are sitting here and there's almost 4,000 people sitting here with us is because we've been doing it a while and we're credible and honest. And honest means that sometimes I tell you your team fucking sucks. And sometimes I'm going to tell you that you're the player that you're rooting for fucking sucks. And you know what? I'm going to keep doing that. And if this isn't your spot and you got to bail. Mark's main, maybe the Niners have subscribed to a new injury plan. It's like commercials. Get all of them out of the way at the beginning. Injuries plus team.
So you tell me all the lousy songs, all the slow songs are going to be in the first set, but we're going to have a second set rocker and then an unbelievable encore. Okay. That's fine. I'm all about a good second set.
Football's 100% injury deal. I mean, if you were losing your mind in August over these injuries, you really weren't looking at the fine print. The fine print showed you that only Kevin Givens is out for a long period of time. Everybody else was soft tissue, a couple weeks, maybe a month. Ayuk obviously that was preset before the season started, but the Niners have not had a crushing summer of injuries that have derailed their season. Right. They've had a crushing.
The list has been longer than you want it to be, but it's not as serious as it sounds.
Right. I mean, there's injuries and then there's significant season altering injuries. If CMC is going to miss the year, okay, that's a serious season altering injury, but that would be the first of its kind this year for the Niners, outside of the Ayuk thing, of course. We got that one. Okay. How about this one? Fuji, Larry, if spit starts flying, tell your son to start swinging hands like Chris Paul on the SI Wildcats split, i.e. on the Sacred Heart Irish Leprechaun logo, spit on the eye. Do you guys even have a logo? I don't think you have a logo. What would the SH logo be? A bunch of guys standing outside Burger King waiting for the Muni? I mean, that's isn't that where there's like a Burger King outside of SH. SH, you're phony. We got the Bruce Mahoney. Keep saying it. We got this one. By the way, Chris Poo Paul, Seahawks. Yeah. He's back on the Seahawks now. Chudley in the house. I was a candlestick for the Monday Night Football game when Bill Romanowski spit in the face of J.J. Stokes. That was crazy. We had a good view of it. Yeah, and he didn't really pay much of a penalty for that. I mean, it's like he should have. I mean,
he became persona non grata in sports media for a little while, and Bill Romanowski had, you know, some racial charges leveled against him in that moment as well. But what happened there was Bill Romanowski was an animal who just saw red on a football field, and he wasn't racist. He hated everyone. So, you know, it was just Romanowski was nuts. And by the way, what's amazing is that Charles Haley knew that he would be like challenged by Bill Romanowski's nutness. So he started calling him a pussy the very minute he met him. And Charles Haley used to pick on Bill Romanowski. And that's all you need to know about how alpha dogs operate.
You know what? I would have loved to have seen Romo and Haley, you know, throwing hands. That would have been something.
Can you imagine that?
Romo ain't no, you know, it's not like he's like, you know, the assistant librarian or something like that. This guy's 6'4", 240 and nasty in his own right and pretty tough.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, Bill Romanowski is on the list of guys you don't want to mess with. He's on that list.
Seriously, I remember Super Bowl week in New Orleans. We stayed at the same hotel, and I was in the gym lifting and doing some treadmill, and he came in, and I had to quickly catalog. Have I said anything about Bill Romanowski? Am I in danger here? It's just me and him in this small workout center. Is he going to turn on me in the small workout center? But he took so many hits, I think he had forgotten any of the rips that Ratty and I had thrown his way. JC Mania, you're telling me the starting next week, we get wake up three times a week. Football is officially back.
There you go.
Mark's main officials. There will be undercover officers there disguised as 49er fans, totally inconspicuous undercover officers, all wearing Jake Moody jerseys. Yeah. It's unbelievable. The reason there's, you know, Softy Mahler says they got a lot going on up there. Fuji Simeon, Purdy will be big time when he is cast in a Levi's jeans commercial with Beyonce. LOL, you two have been a final score prediction for the game? I do. I think it's 21-17. I think it's a really low scoring game. I'll take the Niners to edge out the Seahawks 21-17. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be some big plays, both good and bad. I think the Niners defense is likely to have a bust or two, but I think their young talent also will have some big time plays, maybe a turnover, maybe a couple TFLs, some PBUs. I like the 49ers to win a low scoring game on the heels of a fourth quarter Brock Purdy touchdown drive.
24-14 is kind of the way I see it too. We're almost in the same boat there.
Joe Sullivan, in this day and age, objectivity has never been more important. Happy Friday, fellas. Go Niners. Exactly. Thank you. Exactly, Joe. I mean, come on. There's enough people out there who are getting paid to butter your muffin. Recognize it. Mike Baker says, Larry, I'm not saying you were wrong. I've been here a long time. I'm not leaving. I just want to believe the best. Oh, no, I hear you, bro. I hear you. No offense. Joe Sullivan, objectivity is why we're here. Happy Friday. You know, I think, you know, there's something, you know, back to that comment there. There's so much media coverage, so much. I mean, think about it. Think about how much more coverage there is today than there was 5 years ago.
It's a lot of coverage by people who aren't. Yeah. How do I say this without, you know, we're not trying to pick a fight with anybody or anything like that. But there are a lot of voices that are unqualified voices now in the conversation.
There's a lot of people that just want to go along to get along. You know, there are people that show up for the free fucking hot dog. You know what I mean? And that it's just the way it is. I ain't one of them. Damon's not one of them. We show up looking to cover a story, and I'm going to cover the story. And people will say, oh, wouldn't you love it if you, you know, you got this and that? Or like, no, I don't want anything. Don't give me anything. I don't want anything from anybody. I don't want to be beholden to anybody.
Yeah, no favors.
Don't give me no favors. Don't give me no tickets. Don't give me no perks. Don't give me no access. Don't give me no nothing. Just get the fuck out of my way, and I'm going to say what I'm going to say. Nostradamus, what do you think Ralph Barbieri would say for the 49ers season? Go ahead, Damon.
Well, the very first thing you have to do is be happy that Robert Saleh's back. He got in the Miata. He's returned. He's back in the Bay Area. We're going to Amici's together, and we can do good at Amici's together. So, no, look, I think Ralph would be excited about this year.
I think Ralph's opinion on Brock Purdy would have been interesting. I think Ralph would have liked the player. He would not have liked the goody two-shoes element of Brock Purdy. So would Ralph's opinion of Purdy would have been interesting to hear it all fleshed out when it was all
here it is. You know, I wish we still had my Paisan. I miss Jimmy Garoppolo. I miss my Paisan. But, you know, I like Brock Purdy. I really like Brock Purdy. And the fact that he gave all of his guys Toyotas, I wish he had done Miatas. I told him, go, why don't you give these guys Miatas? These guys want to see their hair flowing in the wind. But he said, no, Ralph, I want Toyota, not Miata. No, Ralph would be like, you know, I think they're going to be good, Tom. But I'll tell you, I'm going to say 9-8. I'm going to be very conservative. I'm going to think they're going to be winning. They're going to win when they lose, but it's going to be close.
Here you go. It would have been great. It would have been glorious.
Would have been awesome. We got this one, Joe Sullivan. Internet was lagging. Cheers to the double chat.
Okay. Oh, thank you very much. We got supers on both sides from Joe. Joe sprinkling it around, Joe. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Blood Moon. Lair. Did I get a Lair Bear? If there was a question or you could ask, if there's a question or two, you could ask CMC, George, or Brock to light a fire or thought for them to carry to the team, what would it be?
I mean, your chances to win a Super Bowl, boys, are running out. Like, here it is. You got this year. You might have next year. And then after that, nothing is proven. So if you're going to do it in your careers, George, I'm looking at you. Christian McCaffrey, I'm looking at you. Brock, you're a little bit younger, so I'm not really looking at you. But this is it. This is the time. You guys have how many more bites at the apple? Do you really think? Two at best? If everything goes right? So,
I would say something along the lines of, hey, look, man, the only goddamn Super Bowl you can win is Super Bowl 60 at Levi's this year. And every team that wins the Super Bowl is not always at full 100%. You're going to lose some guys along the way. There's plenty of talent in the room. There's years where, teams have everything but a quarterback and don't win. I think the 49ers have a championship quarterback. I think he's going to make that step forward this year. I think that's going to cover their ass in a lot of other areas. But I would just say to them, hey, look, let's focus on every day. Let's get a little bit better every single day. And we'll see where we're at the end, and let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. People are going to tear us down. People are going to build us up. People are going to pump us up when we're going good. They're going to rip us when we're doing bad. Let's block it all out, be pros, get to the playoffs and win three games and win the Super Bowl. I mean, the best team doesn't always win the Super Bowl. Sometimes it's the hottest team. Sometimes it's the freshest team. Sometimes it's the team it's a war of attrition. Green Bay won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers against Pittsburgh one year where they had 23 guys on season-ending IR on Super Bowl Sunday. So, you know what?
Let's really? Go. Was that the number for real?
Yeah, 23.
Wow.
That's a ton. 23 that's guys awesome. On season. I mean, that told you how good Ted Thompson was as a general manager back then.
That's an entire starting offense and defense.
Yeah, it was an amazing year. I mean, they really lost a ton of guys. And shows how depth is the king. And that's why you got to keep going. You know, the roster you see now is just the roster of today. Keep building, keep adding, keep scouring, keep making good decisions, and you'll get there. Philip Chavez, D-line for Cope. GC for negative. What's GC? Oh, Grant Cohn. Who's DL? Dave Lombardi for Cope. What's Cope? Well, coping
to cope with your feelings, I guess.
Okay. Grant Cohn for negative, LK for the truth. Okay. Thank you. Hey, all these guys are good. I'm not ripping those guys at all. And to me, I just think there's just an awful lot of people that show up and they just are the softest blade there is. It's like if they were a knife, they'd be a butter knife, you know? And it's like, everybody's, you know, you can't, they have a, everybody's got a place. I just don't respect those people. Because it's like, what are you here for? I mean, are you a reporter or are you a cheerleader? Because we can get you a cheerleader's costume if you're a cheerleader. Quesadilla Thrilla 71, thank you for the great show and the info, fellas.
Thank you very, very much. Hit like and subscribe across both channels. Really appreciate it. Larry, we got
30 of these. Fuji Simeon, this is what happens when you get 4,000 people in the room. It's an occupational hazard. It's still early. Purdy could develop a dark side. Could you imagine Brock Purdy became like some kind of a guy who's just, he's just doing everything wrong. He's criminal. He's this, he's that, he's, everybody hates him. He's given up his faith. He's cheating on everybody. I mean, something tells me it's not going to happen.
Gambling scandal, drunk driving, cheating on his wife. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Beat up a guy outside the stadium, and you know, just all of a sudden, Brock just goes.
Yeah, Brock Purdy tuning up a dude at some bar one night. Yeah, I just don't see it.
Just doesn't see it. Just don't. I mean, I can see him leading a prayer service.
Right, he's sleeping with Larissa Pippen.
I mean, it's not going to happen. LG, I saw Ray Ratto wasted alone at a bar. It was scary. Okay, well, thanks for sharing.
Ray in society functioning? I don't believe you.
Joseph Ernberg, you missed my super earlier, Larry. Really? I don't think so. Sorry about that, Ern. I love the negativity, bro. You know how much I respect your negativity. JC Mania, what kind of game day food are we cooking Sunday? Ooh, it's a 1 o'clock start, right?
It's a 1 o'clock start. Yeah, no, I'm not.
What do you do on Damon? What do you do, Damon? I mean, you got little guys. Do your little guys want to watch it? No, probably not.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not around my kids during the Niner game because I'm on the air. I'm doing my watch party. So that's when I'm working. What I'll do, I'll do a big breakfast. Sunday, pancakes, French toast, waffles. I'll do a big daddy does the morning breakfast because at 1 o'clock, daddy's going to disappear for a few hours. So
now you named all... No meat there. Do you have bacon? Is there sausage? Is there Canadian bacon?
I'm very glad you asked. Thank you. I believe that bacon works best with eggs and waffles. I like sausage with French toast and pancakes.
Okay. Do you ever dice up the bacon and put it in the waffles?
I can't because Jillian is bacon adverse. And we also can't surprise the kids with any surprise ingredients. Even if they like it, they won't want it. I didn't want my bacon in my waffle is something I can hear my 4-year-old saying. So I hear that.
They're very picky. How about, have you heard of the breakfast thing called the Dutch baby? Yeah. The Dutch baby. It's like a different pancake. It's got cooked. It's really good. My mom used to make it. It was fantastic. Kind of like an egg-based pancake type thing.
Is it like an egg in the hole, except if there's an egg in a pancake?
Yeah, but except it's not. It's more sweet than it is savory. It's not savory. It's more sweet. Right. But French toast can be really good, especially with a little powdered sugar, maybe some strawberries.
The secret to French toast.
Getting hungry.
The secret to French toast, stale bread. You have to start with stale bread to soak up the egg mixture, which becomes nice and custardy. You want to start with stale bread.
Okay.
And that is the secret to French toast.
Now, my French toast recipe, I get a baguette. I slice it, right? A lot of little small ones, like a narrow baguette. Slice it up. Then I make a concoction of basically I scramble 2 or 3 eggs. And I just sprinkle some cinnamon in the eggs, and then I let these French toast sit in a Pyrex in the egg mixture with the cinnamon, and then the next morning I let it soak all night. And then I bust it out, put it on the flat top, and there you go, French toast.
See, this is welcome to wake up, everybody. It's not just Niners football. We're gonna help you with breakfast this year. So there you go.
I'm negative as shit on the Niners from time to time, but I'm very positive on breakfast.
Let me tell you about the right amount of cinnamon in your French toast. I'm high on it, Larry. As a matter of fact, I am putting $300 on cinnamon in the over for next French toast breakfast.
As far as our game day food, I have teenagers, so like I can go to like Lenardi's and like there is no, you know, amount of food that these guys can't eat. So I will seriously, I'll usually go and order like 40 or 50 wings. Now I'm a wing guy. Not everybody is a wing guy. And then I'll just, I'll bake them. I'll just bake the wings and then I'll finish them on the barbecue with some, I'll put some, Frank's red sauce, red hot sauce on it.
Yeah.
And then I'll put them on the flat top and kind of finish them up, you know, or barbecue them if I got the barbecue going. And oh my God, I mean, my teenagers can wolf so many of them. It's ridiculous. All right, with a couple more here. Missing, I'm hitting the wrong thing. I'm wondering why I'm not moving here. All right, there we go. Hitting the wrong mouse. Mark's main found a baby snapping turtle in the parking lot this morning. Moved it to the woods to avoid getting crushed. Not sure why, but I feel it's a good omen. Niners by one score.
There you go. This and you know, look, we were sitting here wondering if Diamador Lenore going to shadow Jackson Smith and Jigba. We don't need to worry about it anymore. The baby snapping turtle's been saved by Mark's main, and there you go. That should be the deciding factor in the game.
That is awesome. Fuji says, does Bosa have a bad game against Seattle and Darnold, or a big game maybe? It says BID. It's either the I's wrong or the D's wrong. It's a big game. I think he does. In fact, you know what? I was talking about this last night with Sterling, another good young guy. Check out Sterling Bennett. He's really sharp. But Sterling and I were talking about guys, you know, who's the surprise guy tomorrow or, you know, Sunday. And I really think, Damon, that Nick Bosa and Bryce Huff are going to cover a lot of the issues that the Niners have in the back end as far as youth and inexperience. Because, Damon, I think Bryce Huff is going to be awesome. I'm going to say it right now. Bryce Huff has over 10 sacks this year. I think he's going to have two in this first week game. And I think Bosa is going to run into sacks this year for the first time ever because he's got Huff on the other side.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. Again, I think are a little down on the 49ers because we have not even seen them yet this year. You know, we've kind of forgot what they look like when they're right because we didn't get much right 49ers last year. So it's been 2 years since we've really had a good look at a Niner team that we can believe in and get excited about. And man, Nick Bosa, like I was saying earlier, dudes like you, Nick, used to make about $25 million a year. Now dudes like you can make 40 at the top of the food chain. So go get yourself back to the top of the food chain. I know Bosa's like money. I know that for a fact. You've negotiated as such throughout your entire career. There's a whole big brand new pile of money that you never even dreamed of waiting for you, but you need some gaudy games. I'm tired of hearing, I'm tired of Nick Bosa nuance games. I don't want Pro Football Talk to explain to me in a score about how good pressures are. I want sacks this year from Nick Bosa.
I hear you. JC Mania, what's the record for amount of supers in a live chat? I would say, you know, we've had different people go off on different times. As far as records, I had a guy drop me $500 once in one chat. I also saw a chat where Brother Bob probably had about 20 super chats.
Fuji Simeon is probably the most frequent super chatter. I did over 100 super chats, I think, during the Super Bowl, during that watch party. There was 100 supers that came in. We had a goal set of 50, and then we reset the second goal of 50, and that one hit. So it was over 100 there, and always appreciated. Yeah, and one time, Larry, I was given 10,000 rupees once, which was like $6. So that was exciting.
Yeah, that's cool, too. You get donations and other – you know what's really cool, too? I got a little ding at like 3:30 in the morning. And I thought, man, what got through on my phone? How did I, who's calling me? Who's texting me? I looked at my phone and somebody had dropped a super from on one of the videos in the middle of the night. And then for some reason I had an alert. So it just went boop.
There you go.
Nothing like waking up in the middle of the night to have somebody say, here, here's $4.99.
This little sprinkles.
There you go. Makes
it's like going Ron Jennings. Just put some sprinkles on it. Makes us very happy.
It's kind of like what the Niners did with JJ. JJ, wake up. Here's $3 million.
Ding.
That would be great. Vince Vargas. I like that name. The alliteration.
He's stuck in the ganja jar. Thank you.
Maximum football opening weekend for the NFL for the ganja JJ Raider jar. I got 5 on it. Damon's going to have to put that jar on a higher.
Here it is right there.
Yeah. Something tells me if we fast forward to maybe 2035, we may see that jar has been opened when Damon was at work.
at work. I'm not at home anymore. Oh my gosh, that'll be amazing.
Now you could be working anywhere in the house, and all of a sudden, who got into the jar? Jack, Dad, it was Ozzy. It was Ozzy.
Liven up yourself. Little Bob Marley coming from the basement. My kids will be cool. I know it.
You know, it's like when I was a little kid. I think I went to the bathroom in my pants, and my mom said to me, "Larry, did you poop your pants?" And I looked at my sister, who was like 20 months older, and I said, no, she did.
She did it.
She did it. She's like, my mom looked at me like, that's a kind of a neat trick. Barry Ford, how did the brisket turn out from 2 weeks ago, Damon?
It was really good. You know, I didn't do the Texas crutch where I wrapped it halfway through, so it got a little burnt edges on the ends, but it was very juicy in the middle. Successful brisket. Thank you for asking, Barry.
The two things I just haven't done in a long time and I won't do because I just don't want to ruin it. Brisket, it's just so damn hard to do. I don't have a smoker. It's a labor really hard
love.
To do.
It's a labor really, of love. Pay an expert.
Brisket, I I've never done the standing rib roast where you have like, you know, you have like that prime rib.
You got to do that. So that's really easy to do. The isn't brisket it, is the
prime rib's easy?
Oh, it's so easy. It's like 20 minutes a pound. It's cooking a prime rib on a grill is an incredibly easy thing to do compared to a brisket or ribs, which is a labor of love. And you're over there. Like the worst thing you can do to a prime rib would be to lift the lid up and look at it. Just figure it. If you got a 10-pound prime rib, know that thing's going to take, you know, a couple of hours. You set it for 2.5 hours. You put a thermometer in it and you pull that son of a bitch at, you know, 125 and you're medium rare the whole way through and you're a happy boy.
Dude, is there anything better than prime rib with just a perfect au jus and then some of that? What's the spicy?
The horseradish.
The horseradish guy. Oh my God. The horseradish. And you get that horseradish up the nostrils and you're just like, woo.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. I went and had at the Golden Steer Vegas Super Bowl week. Big Mo Easy took me and Kev to dinner one night and we went to there and we had the prime rib and it was unfreaking unbelievable.
It's a shame I only heard about this dinner. Wasn't invited. Thank you.
Well, that's Big Mo Easy. And it was a tough, I didn't realize, Damon, how incredible this restaurant reservation.
Hard to get in there.
Very difficult. Unbelievable. Yeah. I told JT the Brick about it. He's like, dude, you got in there? He's like, yeah, man, I know Big Mo Easy. JC Mania, do we see a Seahawk tush this Sunday?
Seahawk Tua. Is anyone going to spit in this game? No spitting.
That would be awful. Fuji Simeon, thanks for the bay shrimp cocktail cracker recipe, Larry. It pains me as a Reardon Crusader alum to thank a Sang Nations Wildcat. Damon, brisket?
It is brisket. A lot of people want to know. It was good. It could have been better. It was not my best effort. It was all right.
Yeah, the cocktail sauce with the shrimp on the crackers, it's a phenomenal, nice. Easy to put together appetizer. Robert Baldacci or Baldacci, I think it's probably Baldacci. He said SF 49er fans to be the 12th man.
Well, it's the thing. So there's supposed to be more Niner fans at this Seahawks game than Seahawks fans. If that does happen, what a sad state of Lumen Field. I mean, that was unthinkable for that to happen ever up there. But Niner fans travel better than any team in football. And we get the numbers, by the way, to prove that. By the way, the Niners lead the league in net ticket receipts, the amount that the team keeps after taxes, fees, and surcharges.
Why do you think that is, Damon? I mean, I know the Niners have been iconic since Joe Montana in the 80s. They've been, you know, an incredible – they were stamped an icon when Steve Young won in 94. But, I mean, why are the Niners – in 2025, the Niners in their heyday, all of the 80s, all of the 90s, when they did the most winning, when they were the most dominant, they didn't travel like this. They didn't travel anything close to this. I went to Texas Stadium in 1995 for Niners Cowboys, and there were Niner fans there, but it wasn't
a takeover.
Anything like, right. Yeah, no takeover. How come the Niners have been able to take over opposing stadiums so regularly?
Can I answer honestly?
Yeah.
Pain. Nothing brings the fans to the table like pain. Pain gets more RSVPs than pleasure does in sports. It's been 30 years since the 49ers have won a Super Bowl. This is an anxious, waiting for it fan base. This is a fan base that is dying for the next Lombardi Trophy. And it's reflected, I think, in the attention right now. People are out of their minds waiting for their next Super Bowl that they thought was promised to them because they were Niner fans. And 30 years later, what do you know? You ain't promised nothing. So I think that that's it. And like you said, it starts from iconography. The Niners were the biggest red ruby in the crown jewel of the NFL with Joe Montana and those 80s Niners and that dynasty. With all due respect to America's team and the Cowboys and all that bullshit, Niners. I mean, this is coming up. I grew up a Bears fan. And the Niners were a bigger deal than the Cowboys in my mind growing up. So it's just, it's a very unsatisfied fan base in one of the biggest fan bases for the biggest team in the biggest sport in America. That's what it is.
You know, it's funny. I asked somebody else this question, and they said, you know, it's interesting because there are other iconic teams that don't do this. You know, there's other great teams that have huge following that don't own the road like the Niners fans own the road. The guy's theory that that I asked this to, I thought was interesting. He says that it's a combination of two factors. The Niners were great for 20 plus years, and then they also had another iconic run with Harbaugh recently that kind of rekindled their whole passion. So they've got multiple regimes. You got the Joe Niners, the Steve Niners, the Kaepernick Niners, and the current Niners. So you've got multiple regimes. But his thought was that the Bay Area and the cost of real estate in the Bay Area makes it so that so many of the sons and daughters of Bay Area residents, people that went to school in the Bay Area, really couldn't afford to live there, bought homes and moved all over the country, but still just want to keep the Niners because of their, you know, their devotion, their love, and for the region. And so that there's a lot of people that might have been priced out here and wound up going to Texas, Oklahoma, or whatever. So now they're scattered around the country, and it's easy to support the Niners by, you know, maybe driving
something like that. So I remember when it was Red Sox Cardinals World Series, where there was an article in the Boston Globe how it was cheaper to go to games 3, 4, and 5 in St. Louis than it was to game 1 in Boston. You can go get 3 World Series games in St. Louis, or you can go to 1 World Series game at Fenway. Like, that was the price point difference. So maybe a lot of 49er fans, even well-moneyed fans in the Bay Area, are like, look, we could go to Levi's Stadium. Which kind of sucks. We all know that. I'm trying to be friendly now, but... Or we could get on an airplane, we could stay in a hotel, we could go out to dinner, we could go to another stadium, and it would probably be less expensive than if we tried to go first-class Levi Stadium.
You know, it's a funny thing. I was watching Fuzzy Zeller one time telling this story about how he met this Japanese guy in Hawaii, and the guy had just the most perfect swing he had ever seen in his life. And he saw him on the range at some golf course in Hawaii. And he walked up to him. He said, you have a beautiful, beautiful natural swing. You know, how did you hone this? And the guy said to him, I've actually never played golf in my entire life on a golf. Fuzzy Zeller was like, what? He's like, I've only played simulators. And then Fuzzy told the story how it's so expensive to play golf in Japan that this guy told him that it was less expensive to get on a plane, fly from Japan to Hawaii and play, you know, at a beautiful course in Hawaii than it was to play in Japan without the flight.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. And the guy had never played a course. He'd only played simulators, which is just, you know, that's amazing. Fuji says, sorry for the typo, Larry. I swear Reardon taught me proper grammar and how to spell LOL. Oh, it's all right. You know, Crusaders, you know, you Crusaders. What can I say? We got this one. Johnny Dunn. What's up, Johnny? I like that name. Good morning, Damon and Larry. I enjoy your takes. You guys make mornings before work easier. Will the 49ers trade for an O lineman and CBS and a cornerback if they have a good record before the deadline? We'll see. You know, that's the beauty of it. The problem, John Lynch. Oh, by the way, I can't even believe I didn't mention this. John Lynch went on KNBR yesterday, and I didn't hear the interview until this morning. They replayed it this morning. But John Lynch kind of basically said that the 49ers made an offer for Micah Parsons. He didn't come out flat out and say we made an offer, but he was asked, did you guys make an offer? And he's like, you know, and he kind of hemmed and hawed. And he basically made it sound like he said, like, hey, look, you miss every shot that you don't take, is what he said. Which, in other words, it sounds like the Niners may have called the Cowboys and said, hey, we'll do this. But he said they were never really in the running. But, I mean, I think it goes to show the one thing I think John Lynch has done that I think he definitely deserves credit for, not the only thing, but the one major thing, is he has popularized the midseason trade with the addition of McCaffrey and others. The 49ers have been very successful. There's a lot of teams that don't even ever consider those midseason trades. The Niners are very much in the deal flow almost every year. So I do think that John Lynch will make a trade at the deadline almost assuredly. And I can't really say right now what it will be.
I think they'll play the board as it comes to them. I really do. I think they'll play the board as it comes to them. And that might even work in reverse, right? That might even work in reverse. Like, let's say it's a disaster. You're 0-6 through 6 weeks. Trade Juwan Jennings.
Right. Or, you know, I mean, I don't know if it'll be Juwan Jennings, but it might be somebody else. It might be a great player that you don't think you need or feel like you can get by without.
Right. If it were a huge reset the market button, maybe trade Nick Bosa.
Right. I mean, if you got enough assets back, that's for sure. Fuji Simeon says, not by choice. I lost a bet to a bunch of SI Wildcats. Go Cats, get them Cats, go get them Cats, Fuge. Fuji says the correct answer is pig in a pickle for brisket. Yeah, well, that's me.
Just go get the experts to do it for you.
Seriously, brisket is one of those things I'd rather go there than try to do it myself.
I really like cooking. I like cooking dinner. I make more dinners.
I don't know about cooking dinner.
But here's the thing. I'm not learning how to cook Chinese and I'm not learning how to cook Thai because I've got the best Thai and Chinese food delivery in the world around me. I already got experts doing it. I don't need to develop that muscle or skill.
What is your Chinese food spot of choice currently?
There's a place called Crazy Pepper that is very good. Does great delivery. It's right on the corner of Geneva and Alameda, or Geneva and San Jose.
Alameda.
Yeah. But it's not Alameda. It's San Jose, I believe.
What's it called again?
Crazy Pepper.
Crazy Pepper. I'm going to write that down. I'm always looking for a good Cantonese spot. Is it Cantonese or is it Hunan or is it?
I would say it's what you want American takeout Chinese food to be.
Good.
It's what you want.
I want it to be good.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. I don't know if it's Sichuan. I don't know if it's Hunan. It's typical Americanized, really good Chinese food.
Yeah, it's probably Cantonese. JC Mania says Niners take over stadiums because of that Cali money.
Look, there's an element of maybe there is more wealth in the fan base than other fan bases, but that doesn't explain what we're seeing in stadiums everywhere. This is, you know, that ain't
by the way, I mean, Cali money, what? We're taking what? We're taking second mortgages on our homes and borrowing against our equity? Because, I mean, I'll tell you this, man. I was out in Connecticut this summer. I filled up my gas tank for $32. I came back, filled up my same gas tank for $62 here. So we're getting screwed on the gas tax. California, I mean, most godforsaken place. It's a beautiful spot to live, but I mean, goddamn, we pay so much more than other parts of the country for gas. It's criminal. Barry Ford says, is it true in San Francisco you can only store cars in garages? No.
No, I mean, we look at it this way. We have a garage. We haven't pulled our car into it once.
For the weather, there are places where you have to have, you know, your car parked indoors, but not in Northern California. And as far as crime goes, I would also say no, but, it has been on the uptick for sure. Joe Sullivan says, I just want to say thank you to both of you for getting us through the off season. The coverage has been great, and I hope the channels continue to grow. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joseph.
Appreciate that, man.
Joseph will be at Plusmania on October 4th. I know it.
One of your Plusmania fans came out yesterday and said that he'll be at Plusmania 4. So I just saw that yesterday.
I think we're at seven now. I've lost count. I've lost count.
Poontang Pie. That's a nice handle. How many all pros will the 49ers have this year? How many all pros?
Fred. How about this? Fred. Bosa. D'Amador Lenore. I'll put him out there.
Three.
George Kittle.
These are all pros?
Yeah.
There's only one all pro at every position. I'll say...
George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk are my candidates.
I'll say the Niners will have two all pros. And their all pros will be Kyle Juszczyk and Saron Neal.
Ooh, okay. All right. So you got a little something from special teams and America's favorite fullback.
Because I love Bosa, but he ain't the best defensive end going. There's TJ Watt. There's Myles Garrett. There's Aiden Hutchinson.
You got to play. You got to play your way on the team. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and then like, you know, I mean, who else could do it? I mean, CMC, but it doesn't look like he's physically up to it. Ayuk, but he's not going to be there. Defensively, Fred, yeah, but he's a little long in the tooth. Demo, maybe. I would say I'll go with those two, Saron Neal and Juice.
What about Dominic Pooney? Dominic Pooney, I think, would be a candidate maybe for this.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. That's a really good call because I think you're right. Dom Pooney is going to elevate his game. He's going to get better and better and better. Barry Ford, I cook 100% of the time. Mary is so spoiled.
There you go. Keep her happy. Keep her happy.
There you go, Barry. I knew a Mary Ford in college. Can't be the same one. LG, ask your wife if she went to Sac State. LG says, why does Nick Bosa drink vodka until he falls down?
Is there a video I can see?
I don't know.
Nick Bosa doesn't look like he's ever put an empty calorie in his body, not once. So,
You know, Bosa, you know, he's in shape. He's definitely in shape. Fuji Simeon says, Larry, SF Sunset District is Mandarin Chinese food now. Cantonese restaurant food is shrinking. Oh, I believe you. I believe you. I like it all, actually. It's a little different, you know, but I do like it all. Especially the Hunan. Remember the Hunan place right there by Broadway and Sansom?
Harry's Hunan? Like, yeah.
Right around the corner from Broadway and Sansom. Just
like I went there for lunch with Lee Hammer once.
Well, that's on you. Who paid? You did. Lee doesn't pay for anything. Did I ever tell you that the Giants announcers used to call Lee Hammer Butley because everybody paid Butley?
Butley. Wow.
Hey Butley. Hey, what's going on, Butley? Why are you calling him Butley? Because every time we go out, everybody pays but Lee. That's awesome. One of the best. Fuji Simeon. Okay, we got that. All right. So we've got all of our, there we go. We've got all of our
supers. Give me a matchup. As we get out of here 48 today.
48 supers. My God. 48
awesome.
Thank supers.
You, everyone. Thank you. Good job, everybody.
4,000 people watching right now. I mean, just an unbelievable amount of people watching. So,
well, let me tell you.
Some are watching on X. Some are watching on Facebook. Some are watching on YouTube. But we've got about 800 people watching on YouTube right now. And 3,000 people watching on X. If you can hit like and subscribe, you know, I mean, I read a stat the other day that like 85% of the people that watch your live streams never subscribe. Yeah, but if you do, that would be great. Hit like and subscribe. If you hit like, more people will just find the show in the algorithm. And if you hit subscribe and hit that notification bell, every time we go live, you don't have to miss a minute of the action. And you'll just get a little alert. Of course, it's 100% free, but you'll get a little alert on your phone that says, da-da-ding, Damon and Larry are going off right now, and you can join. So please do. It helps us greatly. Hit like, hit subscribe. By the way, we've got brand new polos and Krug Show merch at the store. So I do videos, personalized videos for every person that buys anything from the merch store. We're getting into the merch buying season. We sell most of our merch between September and Christmas, as you would imagine. So thank you to everybody. I've gotten lots of cameos. I've gotten lots of people ordering merch. I've done a bunch of videos thanking everybody. So thank you to everybody. I'm totally floored by the support that Damon and I have gotten on this, on our show, on our YouTube channels. It's a labor of love. We're doing it because we love it. And thank you to everybody who's helped me get to this point. I think we're in year 4. Damon's been doing it for a lot less time, but thanks to everybody out there for supporting both channels and be here with us throughout the football season. We're going to be on every day, whether it be, we'll be on every morning, the next morning after the game. Niners playing a Monday, you're catching us on a Tuesday. Niners playing a Thursday, you're catching us on a Friday. Niners play on a Sunday, most of the time you're catching us on a Monday. So we will be here. Just know the day after the game, tune in to Wake Up and we'll give you hopefully a good show and a decent breakdown and some good dialogue to kind of get you ready for your day.
And did you see Barstool's taking our moniker? They're calling it Wake Up Barstool.
I mean, Are they really?
I don't think we invented the phrase Wake Up, Larry, but I know that we've really helped popularize it. So thank you for being here, for watching Wake Up. Again, Larry, your growth is extraordinary. You and Kevin have done a great job building the channel. I am, you know, following the lead. And again, thank you to everyone who has helped us grow and helped us find a new second career over here on YouTube. It's been fantastic. Like and subscribe if you would, please. And again,
we have more supers even. We have more supers. We can't say goodbye yet, Damon.
All right, then let's do it.
Fuji says, never trust an SI Wildcat for Chinese food spots, okay?
Oh, boy.
Fuji says, one more, Larry, to make it 49 super chats.
And then we got more.
Poontang Pie says, what's your all-time favorite pie? You know what? I'll say this. I'm very loyal, right? There was a pizza place in my neighborhood in the Sunset. It's still there. I just drove by it the other day. I don't know if it's the same ownership, so it might not be the same as good as it used to be. But it was called Piro's Pizza on between 33rd and 32nd Avenue on Terravel. And it was a phenomenal pie back in the day. I used to love the Piro's special with all the toppings and everything. It was amazing. So
I love that you see the word pie and immediately start thinking pizza. That's very East Coast of you for a West Coast guy. So I'm proud of you. I would say pecan or, you know, apple. It's hard to beat either.
You know, it's funny. If we're going pie on that front, I like a dark berry pie, like a blackberry pie or a tart berry. I like a tart berry pie.
You like a little tang, tang. Yeah,
I like that. I like a, you know, kind of a real tart berries. Those are a little glass of milk with that. Ooh, JC Mania. Giants 4 games behind the wild card. Something's brewing. No, I don't know about that.
I say this though, it's amazing. They basically have been getting the same pitching performances. They've been getting the same pitching performances all year long. It's the same pitching every time you look up. When the team hits like 315 for a week, they go 9-1. You know, I mean, like it's amazing what a little bit of offense can do to support some really good pitching. So, you know, keep it up, Giants. Just play out the string and make it interesting. I freaking dare you.
Keep it up, Giants. Yeah, it sounds funny just to hear that, but we have one more here as well.
Barry, there you go. Ford, he's Barry, gonna, Barry, some merch. For some Barry merch. There you Barry, go. Larry, and Mary. I love it.
Here we go. We got another one here. Fuji says all SI Wildcats love cherry pie. Yes. Yes.
She's my cherry pie. Remember that video? Warrant.
Yeah. Who was it? Warrant.
Warrant. Okay.
That's Warrant. That's all. all right. That's going to do it for us. It is 10:30 West Coast. I don't know what you got planned the rest of the day. Let me tell you what I got planned the rest of the day. And then Damon will tell you what he's got planned the rest of the day. And you guys can decide what you want to do with your day. I'm here in Santa Clara getting ready for Niners, right? It's a busy day though. And Damon, I have to like put together like a real schedule now, 'cause I've got so many freaking things going on. So this is what I got going today. Damon and I stream today at 9. Chase Senior and I normally go at 10:45. We're going to push it back to 11 because he's doing an Eagles stream, kind of a recap from last night. So at 11, we'll have that from 11 till noon, roughly. Then I will walk over to the media room to see the people that I probably insulted at some point on this live stream. And then at 12:55, Niners will have practice at... Actually, what am I saying? Excuse me. Let me check that. I was looking at Thursday. So Damon and I will go live at 9. Then Chase and I go live at 11. Then I got to look at the back of the sheet. The Niners will have practice today at 12:35, not 12:55. Kyle Shanahan will speak at 1:35 in the auditorium afterwards. The locker room will be open at roughly 1:45. And then tonight at 6 p.m., I'm on Niners Nightly on YouTube only, on KMBR's YouTube channel. And the great John Chapman. You've had John on the show, right, Dan?
I love John. Tell John I said hello. Great guy. John, awesome great dude. Guy. Awesome dude. Great. He's really, really, he's smart. And the way that he's built a community on YouTube with his meetups and everything, just A-plus dude.
Great dude. And John, and you got to go, Damon, to one of Chapman's road game. He's got all kinds of road travel things. Niner fans travel with him. He's going to every single game. You got to get involved in one of those. We're going to New Orleans for week two. So John Chapman's going to stop by tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. At 4 o'clock or 4:30. I'm not sure, but Jay, my, you know, what I really love is to watch my kid play football. And he's a JV corner and receiver, and they're playing Campolino.
How's the hip? Is he ready to flip the hips, Larry?
You know, he's a tough kid, man. I'll give him that. He's a tough kid. He doesn't want any pats on the back. It's like he won't let me hug him. He's at that. You know, I'll say this, Damon. You know, I'm a hugger. You know, it's like I'm the kind of guy that will walk by you in the hallway and say, "I love you, bro." You know what I mean? I'm that kind of a dad, right? I'm a little bit more touchy feely and hands on, but you know, my daughter, she's fine with it. She's like, "Oh, I love you, Dad." All the my youngest kid wants no part of it. You know, if I love you, kid. He's just, you know, he's all grown up. So I'm telling you, man, you got Jack, you got Ozzy, you got that. You're their hero.
Well, I'm basking in it right now.
You say, "I love you, Jack. I love you, Ozzy." They can be like, "I love you too." You gotta enjoy it, dude. Enjoy it, because they'll get to 15, dude, and all of a sudden it's like, "Dad, I want the car keys. Dad, I need $50. Dad, my girlfriend this. Dad, this." Dude,
when Ozzy rips off a "I love you, Daddy," it just, oh, right in the heart every time. That's the best. And I realize,
enjoy.
Borrowed time there. I'm you know, I got about Jack is 6, so I got like 6 years left of cuteness. Ozzy is 4. So I got about 8 years. The cuteness ends around 12. That's when you stop being the hero. That's when you start being uncool. So I'm enjoying it. And then, yes, I assume that I will be fully ignored by the time everyone's in high school. And I'll just be able to say, "Go get them, boys. Go get them. Make your daddy proud."
Barry Ford says touchy-feely dads are the best. I'm not really touchy-feely or anything, but I said that, but I'm really more just like, you know.
You know what I am? You know what I am, Larry?
I want these kids to know that, man, you know, your dad loved you.
I'm not Italian, but I physically love like an Italian. I am a hugger. I am a handshaker. I am a connection point. I'll put my hand on your shoulder while we're talking. I like human touch. So that's just me. Touchy-feely.
Here we go. And on one last note, very high note, we'll leave on this note. JJ Raider, Dad, you got any weed?
Right there, JJ. You know all about it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for watching. Enjoy. Boy, look at it this way. I'm going live at 11. We're kind of looking at the week that was in sports. And then I want to invite everybody, whether you're on Kruger's channel watching, whether you're on the Plus watching, join me for the in-game watch party during the 49ers Seahawks game. I will be live all game long. Please come join me over on the Plus. Another reason to like and subscribe and hit notify. And thank you all. We have made it. It's week one. It's officially week one. We are in the middle of week one. One game has happened. One person has been spat upon. One lightning delay has already occurred. We are in the middle of week one. Sunday should be great, everyone. Thank you for watching. Have a great time. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Bang, bang, wake up gang. How about that? Thank you for being part of this.
You know, it's time for us to bolt for the door. I wrote a name down in an envelope. It said, end this fucking show, Kruger. Do it now.